Great. So here we are. So launch funnels and evergreen launches or sales. So I really think about this as the pathway of getting people kind of in the door and then into some of your services and then further and further in as you have more products, kind of what we were talking about with the 80-20 yesterday. So what does evergreen mean? I'll just answer that in case anybody has that question. So it really means a launch is when you have that open and close, and evergreen is when you have something that's always for sale on your website and anybody can pick it up anytime. All right, so let's go ahead and dive on in. So yes, I was explaining the difference between launch and evergreen, and really deciding when you should do which one is kind of an important decision. So if you're creating a program for the very first time, it makes sense to launch it because you want that energy and that momentum behind it. And then when you decide, okay, I have done the launch, now should I keep it open forever, or should I close it and open it, say, once a year, twice a year, and run it live? And that's really kind of up to you, but it kind of comes back to your business model as well, because you want to make sure that it makes sense with your goals, with your lifestyle. You know, so one of the things to consider is if you have something that's always available, you're going to have some ongoing customer support. You might have certain things to kind of take care of, whereas if it's open and closed, you have a certain period of time where you know you're kind of leading something, and then it's going to end. So that is one thing to consider. And also, of course, the piece of launching. So if you've seen launches, there's this big push, and everybody's talking about it, and there's so much buzz, and that definitely helps drive more sales. Whereas if something is kind of always available, then you're probably not going to have that same effect of, like, you have to get this right away, unless it's amazing, and then totally go for it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's that big push versus that ongoing kind of steady flow. All right. So, yeah, either way, you're still going to be building a very similar campaign around your launch or around your evergreen funnel. And it kind of comes down to bringing people through this experience that leads them to wanting what else you have available. And, of course, you want to make sure that what you're creating is what they want. Okay, so this is an awesome just kind of framework for thinking about your launch, and it comes from Dean Jackson. And it really comes down to before, during, and after. So there's different paths and different things that people are going to be experiencing before they buy, when they're experiencing what they bought, and then after they bought. And then, of course, if you have more than one product or if you have, you know, different things that people go through, you can kind of go deeper and deeper into all the before, you know, during and afters of those too. So you could have, you know, before somebody opts into your list, and then now you're on their list, and then now they're buying, and okay, now they bought, and now they're going to share it with somebody else. So there's a lot of different things that they could be doing before, during, and after. Okay, so we're going to go into this whole launch funnel thing. So there's a lot of different launch funnels online, courses, and all kinds of information about how to create this, frankly, very complicated launch funnel, right? So I'm going to take a look at what these look like. So these are some of the examples of things I've seen online. And when you look at that, your eyes kind of like cross, right? And I'm like, who would want to create this and who has time to do this, right? And the reason they actually market it this way is because they want you to hire them to do it for you. So good to know. So of course you can think about your funnel as an actual funnel. I like to think about it as kind of just water flowing down the mountain and then having pathways towards things that you want people to do. So having a pathway towards a paid product, towards a paid program, could be towards a free something as well that leads into something else. And then just, you know, not having blocks in these pathways is a big piece of the puzzle. So making sure that everything is smooth and it kind of takes you from one step to the next. So I'm really going to encourage you to, you can totally like go online and research funnels more if you want, or I'm going to be showing you kind of what we do. But what I really want to encourage you to do is for you to actually design your own based on your customers, based on your business. And really, that's the secret sauce. Like, that's the special sauce. Like, everything I've done in my business that has worked really, really well is stuff that I just came up with, right? So it wasn't a blueprint. It wasn't like a five-step thing that I followed that somebody else created. It was something that I was like, hey, I have this idea. Let's try it. And usually that ends up working out really well. And sometimes it flops, I have to be totally honest. So sometimes it does not work. But that's how you discover what will work, and that's how you discover what people want, what resonates, what doesn't resonate. So I'm going to be showing you kind of what we do here. But first, you know, let's talk about how they find you. So we talked about, Jada and Jen talked about Simple Green Smoothies and how they got social media to really ramp up their list and how people are finding them. And you have a lot of options when it comes to getting people there. But thinking about, you know, how or like what state are people in when they get to your website, when they get to your email list opt-in, when they get to all these different things on your website. So if they came from a referral, so if a friend of theirs said, oh my God, you know, Erica Learmark is awesome, you have to go check her out, like, you know, don't read anything on her website, just opt in, right? Like, that is going to be a very compelling reason to opt into somebody's website. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what you do on that page as much. Whereas if you're kind of coming from a cold ad or you just happen to browse and click a link on Facebook or something and you end up there, it kind of makes a difference to how you're going to respond to something. So what happens when they land on your website definitely matters. So you want to take a look at, you know, if they came from an ad, make sure that what you say in your ad is actually what they see when they get on your page. A lot of times we're like paying for ads, and if you're not used to it, like I made this mistake definitely a lot of times in the beginning where I would run ads and, you know, it talked about headline A, and then they get on the page and it'd be like headline B, and it kind of didn't connect. So it didn't convert, right? So make sure that you have this clear, they call it scent, right? So if they're following the scent, make sure that when they get there, it's what they were smelling originally, right? So if you've got like great smelling bread or something, you know, you don't want to get there and it's not bread. So, all right, so going from a visitor to a subscriber is usually the first step. So if you're going to be doing any kind of marketing work, any kind of advertising, or just pretty much like cross promotions, joint ventures, any of that stuff, you really want to get people onto your email list first. So just like Jada was saying earlier, if you're running Facebook ads, you don't want to be running Facebook ads to to a paid program directly, because that's not going to convert. You want to get them on your email list first, and then from there you can build that relationship and then sell as well. All right, so your free opt-in gift. How many of you guys have taken the 30-day list building challenge? Yeah. Love it. Great. So I talk a lot more about how to build your opt-in gift in there. So if you don't have that yet, I would totally, and I'm going to be talking about the 30-day challenge in my funnel example, but I actually go into way more depth about how to create it, what should be in it, what it should look like. But really, you can actually have a lot of different opt-in gifts for different things that you have in your business. So if you're doing a launch, you'll usually be creating a new special awesome opt-in kind of giveaway. And it could be a video, it could be a PDF, it could be an audio, it could be a bunch of different things. So it really depends on that delivery mechanism for what it is that you're teaching. All right. So now that you've got them on your list, it's time to make an offer. So I love to keep my offers classy as much as I possibly can and make it fun and easy. And Rebecca's going to be talking more about sales later. But to me, I love this quote by Dan Sullivan. So he says that selling is getting someone intellectually engaged with a future result that is good for them, very key, and getting them to emotionally commit to action to get them that result. So this is huge, because I feel like especially as women, sometimes we're like, oh, I don't want to sell, it doesn't feel good, and like maybe, you know, people don't need this, I don't know. But really what you're doing is you're getting somebody to take action for themselves. So it's really, really huge to be in that mindset when you're creating your launch campaign, your launch funnel, so that you're not selling from your heel and you're not saying like, here's my thing, it's really kind of okay, but I'm not sure if you should buy it. You know, you really want to be confident when you're putting it out there. All right, so there's something really cool that happens. Who here loves to go shopping? Yeah, okay, cool. I love to do online shopping, personally. I'm not an in-person shopper. But there's something that happens when you're shopping. There's actually like a physiological reaction, and you get these like endorphins, and it feels really good. You just bought something, and you're excited. You have this like potential result, and you're like, oh, awesome, I'm on top of the world now. And that's actually what's happening when people are buying your stuff. Like, there's maybe some anxiety leading up to it, but after they hit the buy button, they're like confident. They're like, this is the program that is going to change my life, right? So what you want to do is you actually want to use that energy to get them to take action right away. And sometimes that actually means getting them to take action with buying something else. So that's where an upsell happens. And sometimes it just means sharing it. It means, you know, jumping into the Facebook group or whatever, however you organize things. But that's something to really think about when you're designing your sales funnel, because you want to capture and use that energy. Because, you know, a week from now, they might be like, oh, I tried that, I kind of got busy, haven't logged in. You know, so you really want to use that energy in the beginning as much as you can. Okay, so now if you, I know we already kind of talked about having different offerings and packages, but if you're wondering, like, I only have one offer, I only have one thing that I could potentially package, here's the thing. Let's take the example of acne, for example. If somebody has acne, they will buy a book about how to solve acne. They might buy products. They might go get a facial. They might work with somebody on their diet. Like, there's all these different things that they could do. And if you're the creator of all this information and all this business, it's pretty much the same thing to you, right? You're like, well, of course, these are the things that you need to do, but it's how you package it, and people will invest at different levels. So we've talked about that a lot already, but I feel like sometimes, you know, there's the book format, there's the audio, you know, there's so many different ways that we can have things, and there's also the experience itself. So if somebody is going for, like, a getaway weekend with their girlfriends, and then they're, you know, fixing their acne at the same time, like, who doesn't want that, right? Like, I'd totally sign up for that. And I feel like it's one of those things where it's all about the experience that you're creating, and you can totally have a gradient and a bunch of different options for how you want to do it. So does anybody still feel like, you know, I might run out of information, I might run out of stuff to, like, put into different packages? A little bit? Yeah? Cool. So the good thing, too, is that on the spiral staircase model, as that client continues to kind of evolve, you're going to have, or they're going to have other problems and things that you can also help them with. So that's another piece of that puzzle. So you can help them with a certain piece. Yes?
I think you just sort of answered my question. Would you recommend having a funnel where it's very specific on acne, in different ways, and then have a separate funnel altogether for...
It depends. Yeah, it depends on your business. But you can totally just have it on one specific problem till you solve it. And then you could totally have, okay, now that you have great skin, how to apply makeup? I don't know. Like, you know, something like that, right? I'm just kind of guessing. But, yeah, so I could see it as two different funnels. Or if they're really kind of linked, you could have them also in the same funnel. Great question. All right, so I'm going to talk to you guys about our funnel because I think it's exciting to hear other people's numbers. So this is the Facebook ad that we've been running. We've been running it since January on and off, and right now it's off. So, like, when I'm not really focused on it, we kind of take it off, and then we retool it and play with it. So the way, like, my way of running Facebook ads is the, like, super simple, I don't want to think too much way. So there's definitely more advanced, you know, you can figure out your cost per lead and, like, all kinds of, you know, cost per customer and all this stuff. But what I do is I run Facebook ads, and if I make money based on how much ads I'm running, I'm positive, so I'm happy with that. So as you can see, so Facebook has a rule which is 20% of text maximum for images. So basically, that's why you can't, it's not like a super huge, like, all text kind of ad. But as you can see, when people click on this ad, it brings them to this opt-in page. And it looks very similar. So I have the same top on, and I'm, like, pointing to my opt-in. So I think it works really well because they don't lose the scent, right? So they're like, okay, free challenge, got it, and then opt-in for the free challenge. So there's no, like, you know, swapping or anything or any crazy stuff happening. So I'll give you some of our numbers. So for this opt-in page, we have about a 45% conversion rate. So out of 100 people, 45 people opt-in. Could be better. We've actually split tested it with a couple of different things. So we actually had a video originally, and when we tried just the plain text, it converted higher. So definitely try. I always say, like, video is better, but sometimes it's not. Who knows, right? So it's totally worth testing. So after people opt in, we actually have an upsell on the thank you page right away. So it's totally free to join, and people can ignore this upsell completely if they want to. They'll still get the 30 days one day at a time unlocked. But what we decided to do is I was like, okay, well, I want to run Facebook ads. I want to do, like, more kind of list building stuff and just kind of explore and have fun, but I don't want to pay for my own ads. So this was our solution, and we already had this product created. So, and actually people kept telling us, like, I just want it all at once. Like, I don't want to wait. So that's why we created this, and it's a $27 upgrade that they get on the thank you page. And as of right now, we're at about 3% conversion rate from the number of people who are opting in to the number of people who buy. So what ends up happening is on our Facebook ads, we're always positive. So we never pay, essentially never pay for ads, right? So we're getting between 50 to 100 new opt-ins a day and pretty much for free based on our ads and our kind of other things happening. Okay, so now this year, I know some of you have already logged into our members area. You'll have it after you leave this weekend. If you haven't logged in yet, you'll have your login and all that stuff. But what we did this year is we redesigned our login and members area, our digital heart quarter area, And so we have all the other products that we offer. So how I was talking about yesterday, some people will take you up on higher-end products. So we could have on that thank you page after the $27 opt-in say, okay, great, you bought this $27 thing. Now here's a $97 thing. And, you know, I've seen that, and maybe we'll test, I don't know. But I actually feel like this is a much more organic way of doing things. So after people log in, they see what other products are available. And we do have this kind of cross-sell happening. So people will see, oh, I don't have Simple SEO or I don't have Websites Made Easy. Maybe I should check that out. And so we have some cross-sell. So we see people, they buy the 30-day list building challenge, and then they buy one of the other products, like within 10 minutes sometimes. So it's a really cool, and I don't have numbers in terms of that because it's a little bit harder to track because some people are coming from my main list, some people, you know, and just browsing on the website, but yes. Yeah, so they'll see them grayed out if they don't have it. And if they click on that, it'll take them to the sales page. Yeah. And then if they do have it, it just takes you to the, like, yeah. Thank you. But see, again, this is something that we just came up with, right? And, you know, they weren't teaching this somewhere. Oh, yeah, sorry.
How is the grayed out happening?
Yes, so it's specific to that person, exactly. So it's all Robin Lee's genius, my husband. He programmed it. And we're going to be selling this as a plug-in in the fall, so...
just so they know, like, yeah. For example, you know, they purchase Launch It and Profit, and then they go in and they see Simple SEO.
Yeah.
But they don't know what that is. So if they click on it, do they get to see what's in there, but then they can't actually view? Like, for example, they click on it, and you'll
right.
usually have, what, like four or five
yes.
videos or whatever with
so
titles?
So right now it actually takes them to the sales page directly. So it's kind of like we're taking them to that sales process.
Oh, okay, which
so,
would give you the
yeah,
outline.
Yeah, so you see the
something.
Modules and everything. Okay, okay. Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Great, thanks.
And there's a little sales video, and yeah.
Cool. Natalie, will that plug-in work with Wishlist?
Well, actually, it's kind of like Wishlist, so it will replace Wishlist.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll be talking more about that as we kind of ramp up. Yes. Great. So are you guys enjoying this so far?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Yes, go for it.
I just had one more quick question. Are you guys still doing all of your own web design and development? Because I have to say that for those who are doing multiple programs, it gets really expensive.
Yes.
And there's also a turnaround time issue. So, like, if you have a new program, like, my designer is amazing, but, like, getting anything up and running takes, like, 4 months.
Totally.
And so I'm curious as to whether, you know, at a certain level, your recommendation is that you just hire somebody exclusively or you reach a kind of, like, continuing retainer plan. I don't know. I'm curious about that.
Yeah. So we do have, earlier this year, we started working with designers. Like, I used to do everything. And then, I bottlenecked, and that didn't work anymore. So, yeah. So we've been working with a couple of designers, and then Robin is now doing implementation. But eventually, we'll also have somebody probably kind of on an ongoing basis. So right now, our designer, she's, like, got 3-4 projects. Like, I'm like, this and this, and we're going to need this. So she's kind of, like, kept some space for us. But, yeah, I totally agree. It becomes an issue, definitely. All right, so we've got the cross-sells. And then Launch It and Profit is actually my bigger program that I open and close. So that's the open and close kind of launch model. So people can see that, but it'll just say coming soon and please opt in if you're interested. So I feel like you can totally merge the funnel and the kind of launch model. The first time that we did the 30-day list building challenge, it was... Well, the very first time, it was just an experiment, and I didn't know it was going to happen, so it was fun. And then the second time I did it with all the videos, I knew it was going to lead into Launch It and Profit, and that was kind of more of a, like, I thought that through, whereas the first time I was like, well, we'll see if it sticks, right? But now we kind of have, like, this ongoing, and then every now and then I'll just reopen and close and launch that, the whole kind of platform. Great. So it's really kind of a combination of simple web pages, emails, and just having kind of that right follow-up and sequence of things. And, you know, the way that we do it right now, it's still pretty straightforward. Like, there's definitely pieces that, you know, you have to get into place. And obviously, I will say that all those products that I have in our inventory, like, it took probably 3 years or so of, like, building up to this place. So we didn't have this many products when we started. We didn't have, like, the opt-in and the funnel and the big program. And, you know, we didn't have all of that. So definitely don't compare and say, oh, my God, like, I need, like, 10 products tomorrow. You know, that's not how it's, like, one step at a time, just like the spiral staircase. So let's take a look at kind of what the big pieces are of a funnel. So the very first thing is the source of traffic. So to us, I think Facebook ads work really well, but you really have to know what you're doing. So what we do is we actually target based on a page that somebody likes or a specific interest, so that we're not going out to like everybody and like their mom, right? We really want to go to who is, you know, liking similar pages. Or something we did for the 30 List Building Challenge was market to people who have MailChimp and AWeber and Infusionsoft and Entreport, because if you have a newsletter service, you probably want to build your list, right? So just kind of thinking about and kind of reverse engineering, who are these people who might be the people that I want to get in front of? But of course, guest posting, you know, interviews, speaking, like whatever source of traffic, use it, and it will definitely be awesome. So now you take them to your free offer. So this is your opt-in gift. I don't really want to elaborate too much on the opt-in gift, but like I said, you could totally have different ones. So you could have a checklist for a specific product. You could have a video for another product, and you can just build those out. You don't have to do it, again, all in one day. So now you have your paid offer. I really believe that pretty much everybody can come up with a low-end paid offer right after somebody opts in. And it's kind of that same excitement. After you opt in, you're excited about that free gift that you're going to get. It's almost like buying something, so use that energy to get them to buy right away. And I'm going to talk about that in a bit, but we'll get back to that. Yeah. So then it's following up. So obviously, the fortune is in the follow-up. It's not always going to be everybody who signs up right away. And also, I should mention that in the 30-day challenge, they join for free. If they don't opt to take our paid offer, we follow up with them, you know, every couple of days in the challenge and say, hey, by the way, if you want to unlock, you're still free to do that anytime, you know, within the kind of like first week. And some people do that. So it is kind of that follow-up. They want to get a taste before they commit. And then we have a higher end paid offer, so we can kind of like get them into that next level. And then following up again. So obviously we have like our weekly newsletter or kind of ongoing communication, but it's also good to think about what steps and kind of what sequence you want to take them through in your own funnel and to kind of what they need to experience to make sense for them to upgrade or buy something. And then you can kind of loop it around or just keep adding more products as you create them. Okay, so split testing, how many of you guys know what split testing or, yeah, so pretty much everybody is, okay, who feels like they need to be split testing right now? Okay, cool. So I think split testing really makes sense when you have at least 100 conversions to track and see the results. So if you're split testing a sales page or something that, you know, you don't get thousands of visitors to, it's probably not worth it to split test. And the reason I say that is because you don't want to spend your whole day setting up all the technology and then you have like five people go to that page and your results don't really tell you anything. So things that are good to split test are your ads, if you're doing any ads, because you can see right away, are you getting higher clicks? Are you not getting higher clicks? Are the people opting in? Are they not opting in? It's very, very clear right away. And usually you get enough volume from your ads that you can tell if it's a worthwhile test or not. But on your actual pages, I think opt-in things are great to test, again, because it's so easy, yes or no. Sometimes with sales, it can be a bit harder because, you know, if somebody came from a referral or if they've been on your list for, like, 5 years, then, you know, it's not quite the sales page, different headline that's going to make them buy or not, right? So there could be some different things there. But it's obviously worth testing, and, you know, you can totally set that up. And there's a couple of tools here that I recommend. Lead Pages is great. Optimizely is another one. Visual Website Optimizer. But I will say that as your funnel is kind of set up and you've got some stuff happening, and, you know, hopefully when your ads are free and when you're kind of making enough that it makes sense, then you can totally reinvest and start to split test. So what should you split test? Headlines are a really important thing to split test. Video versus text. So that's something that we learned this year, that at least for an opt-in page, I think people just didn't want to watch a whole video. New designs or different images. All right. different prices. We actually split tested the price of the 30-day list building challenge upgrade. We had a $97 option, a $47 option, and a $27 option. And we had people take us up on those, but then we saw that $27 was just like crazy converting, so we're like, cool. Like, and obviously we were just playing around, so we're like, we don't really care. Oh, we have a couple questions here. Yeah.
So how do you split test prices? Like, is it like 90, you, the same product for 97 and 27,
Yeah. Yes.
People get crabby, like, I spent $27, and right. that person spent $97. Like,
totally. So, yeah, so it's, we used lead pages for our sales page, so it shows two different pages based on who you are, and, like, not, you know, it's not like you are going to get the more expensive price, but you know what I mean, like half and half or a third and a third. So, you know, if somebody were to come to us and say, hey, I heard this person got it, we would totally refund them and totally be cool with it. But we also believe that the price, you know, it is worth it. And we've had people say, like, this is better than paid courses, we, you know, like really expensive paid courses. So we believe in the value of it. So it wasn't like, hey, let's try like $1,000 and, you know, make a lot of money or whatever. But yes, it hasn't happened. So, and we basically tested that probably for like a week or two, not like, you know, a month and like trying to figure that out. So. Yeah. Cool. Great. Oh, we had a question back there. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool.
I was super curious about this work. So you set up your Facebook ad.
Yes. And thank you.
And someone clicks through. You set it up on lead pages so that it randomizes, or I guess yes. so, and it's like you just luck of the draw get one of the three pricing offers that you're testing.
Exactly. So basically how lead pages works is they will split the traffic. So they'll show like for a third of the people, or something like that. Yeah, totally. The other thing is to test different offers. So your offer could include different things. So you could try, you know, giving away a free 20-minute session with you as part of the offer. You could try giving away a bonus, I don't know, extra video that comes with it, or taking away stuff and seeing, you know, maybe sometimes less is more for people and they don't want to be overwhelmed. So just testing a different offer that includes different things. All right, so now I had some general questions here. So can you guys see that? It's pretty clear. Yeah, okay. So how do you juggle different funnels? Because I know, like, if you're starting out, you have one main funnel usually, but what do you do when you have a bunch of different ones, and how do you get people into the right place? So I actually designed a website quiz about 2 years ago, and the reason I did that is because I had different products, and I had a hard time like getting people to the right place. So some people already had a website, some people didn't, and I had, you know, stuff for when you already have a website. So I had them go through this quiz, and when they filled out the quiz, they got sent to the right place in the right follow-up sequence, and then the right product at the end of that sequence. So you could totally use a quiz, but you don't have to. You could also just have, like, on your page, just be very clear. Yes?
So on my question about quizzes, like, how do you set up?
How do you set up a quiz? So there is a tool called SurveyFunnel. Does Liz know it by heart? No. Viral Quiz Builder. Thank you. Yes, the other one went Viral Quiz Builder. Thank you. See, the other Liz knew. Awesome. I love it. Yes, so Viral Quiz Builder is a great one. Okay, and then what's a good conversion rate? So this is a like this is a big one. If you don't know what conversion rate you're kind of aiming for, and you're like, well, 1% is good, right? Like, I don't know, I'm paying a lot for ads, but who knows? So a good opt-in conversion rate for a squeeze page, 40 to 70 is really good. And then a purchase, you know, on a sales page, it really depends how they got to that sales page, but I'm going to throw out, you know, 4 to 10% is great. And then purchasing from an email to an interest list, 1% is actually common in the industry. If you do really anything above that, it's like really excellent. So, but again, it really, really depends on your business, like your reputation, how long you've been in business, you know, how much social proof, and if you're hitting the nail on the mark and all of that. So that's a big part of it. Yes, question.
What is an interest list?
Oh, yes. So one of the things that you do when you have a funnel is, so let's say you have a new product coming out, you'll create a freebie or something related to that product as your part of your pre-launch. And so people who are on that list or who are tagged on that list will be considered part of the, like, they raised their hand to find out about related stuff to that product. And sometimes you could have, like, a coming soon, you know, this product is coming soon, so they opt in for that. And sometimes you don't have that, you know the product's coming soon, but you don't have that quite yet, so you could totally have just, like, a free thing, and they'll be kind of tagged accordingly when they opt in for that free thing. Yeah. Yes?
Opt-in on the squeeze page, is that a free offer?
Yes, opt-in for a free offer on the squeeze page, yeah. Cool. Great. Oh, one more question, yeah.
It's kind of done on, like, this topic, but you were just saying before, like, I noticed lots of pricings and things for products, like, seem to end in sevens. Is that like some
pricing?
Sort of,
yeah, totally.
Like draw card.
So
like,
yeah,
oh, that's a good price.
There are studies. I haven't done them myself, but studies where ending something in at 7, so if it's like 97 or 27, 47, does actually increase conversions. I actually would love to test it just to see if it's true across the board or not. But I think there's something psychological where you kind of round down a little bit. So if it was 99, you would say, oh, that's 100. But because it's 97, you're like, oh, maybe that's like 95. You know, I don't know. Like that's just kind of my guess. But I know there's been studies that have. That's why I just kind of go with whatever the industry is doing at this point. But it would be really cool to test like ourselves. Okay, so how can you use funnels for physical products? I know a lot of you, or at least a good chunk of you, have physical products. Cool. So physical products are great in a funnel for a lot of different reasons. So obviously there's the like, kind of like when you're shopping and you have that aisle before you check out, right? And you have all like these cool goodies that are calling your name. You're like, oh, let me just grab a pack of gum and a magazine and like all these things before you check out. So there's kind of that that happens online as well. But the cool thing with a physical product is you can use it even if you don't have a physical product business. And we're actually going to be potentially rolling out some physical products in the future. But really what it happens is that online, we're kind of like saturated with online stuff, right? Like we're like, oh, not another ebook, right? I don't know about it. And obviously ebooks are awesome and I still download them and I still like consume them. But, you know, there's some saturation and some kind of like market maturation happening. So with physical products, you can actually use that as your opt-in. And this is kind of like, I haven't done it obviously myself, but I feel like this is kind of where the industry is moving. So giving away a free CD or giving away a free book or giving away something like that as part of your funnel tends to work really well because you can just have them pay for shipping, but then you also have their address. So you can market to them in print, which is a lot less crowded there in their inbox, right? So that's definitely one thing to consider. But then if you actually have, you know, my product is a physical product, you can also use that funnel and then you can also do freebies or kind of another digital freebie that leads into buying your paid product. So you can kind of flip it either way. You can have your freebie be actually free, you know, pay for shipping and get this free thing in the mail, or you can have, you know, get this free online thing and then here's my paid product. Okay, and how much should you spend on ads? So these are some of our numbers. Like I said, we kind of do simple math at this point. We could totally say like, okay, our average customer value is, and this is how much I'm willing to pay for a lead. And I'm totally cool if you're already up there, but I just like to keep it simple. So what we do is we run about $10 a day of ads. And if we make one sale in a day, then we made $17, so we're good. And technically, we could keep scaling that, but that actually brings us a good number of leads. We didn't want to grow too fast because we have a Facebook group and we have like management issues, you know, some things that we want to keep, you know, nice and level. But that's what we've been doing. So, you know, as long as it's, you know, money in versus money out makes sense for you guys, then I would say keep running ads because it's totally building your business and it will kind of funnel into other things. Yes.
When you are doing, say, launch and profit, does that amount go up?
Spend
in Facebook ads, and if so, by what percentage or what amount?
Totally. So this is our kind of evergreen. So I actually didn't do any ads for Launch and Profit this year. Just wait a little bit. Yes, so I didn't actually do any ads for Launch and Profit this year, but I did do them for B-School, and I've done them for like other kind of promotions and stuff. And at that point, yeah, I think, how much was I spending? Like maybe 15 a day? It's also... It's not a whole, not a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. Great. Okay, so actually, I think this does conclude, so we can totally take questions now. Yeah. We're only using Facebook ads right now. The other thing I've tried is, I don't remember. I think it's called launchbit.com. And what it is you're actually advertising in other people's newsletters. So like AppSumo, you can advertise in there. I'm not sure if they're still on there, but basically there's other businesses that you can advertise directly through email. So if you want to get email addresses, you want to get in front of people who subscribe to email things. So and how you pay is also per click for those email ads. And I've done that for the 30 Challenge, yeah.
What program did you use to create your Facebook ads?
Do you mean the graphics or?
The graphics.
Okay. Yeah, so the graphics, I use Photoshop, but you could totally use like Canva, PicMonkey, like there's a bunch of great ones out there that are free and available online. And in terms of actually creating the ad, the Facebook Ads Manager is pretty much where you do that. So if you you need to have a Facebook page in order to run ads. So once you have that set up, there's like a little advertise. I will say that do not do the boost ad because or boost post, because what that does, it kind of just tries to get it out to your main people, which it's kind of like paying for nothing. So I would rather have you set up an actual ad to targeted people that you want to get in front of. Yes, you're welcome. Maybe here, yeah. Oh, the first, very first slide? Cool. Yes. Okay, we got it maybe over here.
And if I, Jessica, I'm going to pass the mic so that everybody can hear your question.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, do you think Kindle, writing a Kindle book would be a viable way to bring in traffic to your
website? Great question. So I have a Kindle book. I have two, actually. And I think Kindle may have peaked, but I don't think it's too late. So in terms of like getting a lot of traffic from it, I have friends who are like, they have 40 Kindle books, and they're like, yeah, I'm kind of getting out of the Kindle business. So it's not over. I'm not going to say, oh, sorry, I missed it. Okay. So I'm not going to say it's over because like people are still making tons of like great money on Kindle and like selling a tons of books, but I don't think it's as much of the traffic builder as it used to be. So that doesn't say you shouldn't do it. I think it's still a great thing to do if you have a book and, or, you know, you've got, you know, most of it done or something. I would totally go for it. And what I would say is you want to have, use the 5-day promo and then use your list and your current social media people to help push it. And once you get onto that top list of free books, you're going to get even more people downloading it. And then what happens is as people are buying other books, they'll see people who bought this book also bought, and then they will buy it from there. Yes, you're welcome. But it's totally doable.
I had a quick question about video and podcasting.
Yes.
I have a radio background, so I much prefer being like hidden behind a microphone versus in front of a camera.
Cool.
So do you think that there's just as much success with podcasts as there could be in video? Or is it a do or die, I got to get comfortable behind a camera?
Well, I really think that podcasting is hot right now. So if you want to go pure podcast, I say just run with it and rock it. Yeah, I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's different audiences are on the different platforms. There's a couple of people in the back there. Yeah. All right.
Hi. I have a question on doing multiple opt-ins. So if you only have one product or you're just driving people to your list, I have Optimized Press for my squeeze page. I don't think Optimized Press allows for different opt-in offers depending on traffic source. I'm not sure about that. I haven't looked into it. But when you say to have different opt-in offers, I just wanted to clarify, do you mean, like, if it's not for different products, obviously for different products there'd be different opt-ins, but if it's just to, like, get on your list, do you recommend trying different opt-in offers, and how would you recommend doing that?
Great question.
And then I have one other question.
Yeah.
So in the drip content sequence afterwards, I've heard like, okay, have, you know, the follow-up, and then have, like, a small offer, like, I have a book I wrote, like an ebook, but I kind of don't want to put it up as my opt-in because it's kind of, I don't know if people are going to actually take the time to read it, but it's decent. It's like 40 pages. So I'm like, do I just charge like $2.99 for it? Or I don't know. Just your thoughts on kind of like a purchase in the opt-in drip as well. Thanks.
Cool. Okay. So I'll answer the second one first. So basically when you have a piece of content, how do you know whether you should sell it or use it as your opt-in or kind of use it in your funnel? So you can kind of think about it as puzzle pieces, and it will maybe take some like playing to get them all fitting. So you might say, okay, I'm going to try it for free for, I don't know, a month, and just like, hey, free, and then it's going to be paid. You could totally try that. And you can also just say like, you know, it's going to be paid, and I'll try that for 2 months and see how that goes, right? And then also, in terms, it just kind of made me think of Kindle. Maybe Kindle would be something to consider if you're going to have it priced at $2.99. Okay, and your first question in terms of different opt-in offers, yes. You know, it kind of comes down to testing, right? So if you want more people to join your list and you're like, okay, I'm getting like maybe a couple of subscribers, but they're kind of like dribbling in and it's not really like, you know, what I would expect, then I would totally create a different opt-in offer. Or maybe just renaming what your opt-in offer is, because sometimes the content itself doesn't need to change, but it's just how you present it and the words that you're using to get people to opt in. And that's kind of like the packaging around it sometimes is more important, just to get people in the door, and then once they're in the door, they're going to love it anyways, right? So I would try that. And you could have just different opt-in pages. Yeah, go for it.
Hello, Natalie.
Hey.
So as far as the spacing of the emails and how many you should send for the funnel, do you have any recommendations for what works well? Because I know some people will do a series of 12, and it just seems a little redundant, and they'll send them every single day. What, in your opinion, works best?
Great question. Yeah, so I think it does depend. What I found to work really well is 2 a week for the first, like, little 3 weeks, 4 weeks, however long you want it to be. And what I do is I'll do it on the date that they opt in, and then say 3 or 4 days later, and then 3 or 4 days later. So it comes back to the exact same day they opted in. So we know they were on the computer at this time last week. So they'll be back, and maybe they'll catch up with the last one if they missed it. And then in terms of how long, I think it really depends on kind of like what you need to share and like how much you need to kind of build up to selling something. But 2 a week does tend to work really well for me. That's what I have for kind of my main list. And then the 30-day challenge, obviously, is daily. But I do feel like people get really overwhelmed. So if you do like a short, like a 5-day daily, maybe that could work if it's your ongoing thing. But yeah. But also, people are excited in the beginning. So, great. Oh, follow up. Okay, cool.
If you're doing a live launch, how many emails?
It depends how long your launch cycle is and how long your shopping cart a week. Like 3 or 4 in a week. Yeah. It depends. I mean, if you're doing like a live webinar, you'll have to like remind them about the live webinar, and then here's the replay for the live webinar, and then by the way, did you know the program's open? So there could be a lot of those emails. Yeah. You could totally do more emails. Yeah, you could totally do more emails on the last day. It depends how you space them out, right? Yeah. Cool. All right, 5 minutes. All right. Okay, go for it.
Hi, I have a question about the marketplace, because I do feel that information products and package programs is an oversaturated market. So how do you stand out? Because, you know, I think entrepreneurs have fatigue in terms of paying for programs and getting content that isn't superb. So right. How do you differentiate yourself?
Totally. I think it really comes down to creating something that you're like, this is awesome, and kind of like that value equation, right? So people are going to have such an amazing time. They're going to get so much out of it. And leading with that, kind of like leading with your heart first, I feel like is really what's going to help differentiate you. At least that's kind of how I've been doing it for the past like couple of years, and it's been working really well. I think also figuring out what your talents and skills are when it comes to marketing. So for me, I love visuals and I love words. And, you know, those are the things that I try to focus on when I'm doing things. So we started doing kind of infographic marketing. So I don't know if you guys saw my introvert kind of little infographic that we did for kind of B-School. And that was like just pure inspiration. I was like, oh my God, this is for my people. It's going to be awesome. And like people loved it. And it was just something like, it was just purely like words and images. And it wasn't a sales page. It wasn't like, here's the program, here's what it includes. And I think that it's almost like, how can you break out of marketing like while still marketing? You know, it's almost like, how can you be you and have some of that you-ness in everything that you do? Because that's really the only thing that we have that's different, right? It's us. So, yeah. Great. Okay, last question. Sounds good. Maybe Marsha over there? Yeah, cool.
I really loved what you said about using the energy when someone's opted in or bought something. Yes. And particularly for those of us who don't have a ton of different products and different offers, getting people to share it. Logistically, how would you do that? Like, is it just having like a Flare plugin or something, or is there something?
Yes, so there's a blog post on my site with the actual code for doing that. But basically, how it works is you want them to, they're regular share buttons, but you can make them fancy and make them pretty. But when they click and to share, it will share the front page. So it won't share that thank you page that they just went to. So that way you can send people back to the front, and you could have them send them back to your opt-in page as opposed to your sales page, because people probably don't want to share a sales page, but they can say, you know, you can say, hey, please share this free thing. It's awesome. You just got it, or, you know, something like that. And that actually, the 30-day challenge kind of has that built into it. And I see people every single day who are sharing the 30-day challenge on Twitter, on Facebook, everywhere. So it definitely works. And it's just all about asking, right? It's like putting it out there and say, hey, please share this, and here's how, right? If you Google how to add social buttons, if you just Google that...